Unit 8, Gangas of Talakad, Political History. Page 2. Unit 8, Gangas of Talakad, Political History. Structure. 8.0, Objectives. 8.1, Introduction. 8.2, Background Origin. 8.3, Political History of the Gangas, Early Rulers. 8.4, Ganga Rulers from Duravinita to Sri Purusha. 8.5, The Later Gangas. 8.6, Let us sum up. 8.7, Questions for self-study. 8.8, Books for further study. Page 3, 8.0, Objectives. The purpose of this unit is to make you understand the political history of Gangas of Talakad, who had long political career in the history of Karnataka. After studying this unit, you are able to learn the following. The political history of Gangas is reconstructed on basis of the information obtained from the inscriptions and the literary sources. The origin of the Gangas is not clear. There are various theories advanced by the schools to explain the origin of the Gangas of Talakad. Outside origin is rejected and local origin is supported by the majority of the scholars. The political history is studied in three phases. V. Early rulers who were responsible founding an independent political power in southern part of Karnataka. The second stage of their political history starts from Duruvinita to Sri Purusha, whose political achievements are remarkable in the history of Gangas of Talakad. In the last phase, the political struggle of the later Gangas with their contemporary power and the collapse of Ganga power is described. 8.1 Introduction. In the history of Karnataka, the Gangas played a prominent role in political and cultural life of ancient Karnataka. They held sway over greater of Karnataka and territory of Kaveri basis, excepting the delta of Tanjore in the south. They seem to have commenced their rule somewhere in the middle of the 4th century and continued up to the 11th century. It is a remarkably long rule in the history of Karnataka. The Ganga kings have left innumerable inscriptions in copper and lithic records. They are valuable historical documents which throw light on various aspects of Ganga's history. These inscriptions are spread all over all parts of Mysore, some parts of Coorg, the west and north Arcot and Tanjore in the east, and the extreme south of Mysore state to Belgaum in the north. The territory ruled by them came to be known as Gagavadi. 96,000 Talakad was their capital on the bank of Kaveri in the southeast of Mysore. This remained permanent capital of the Gangas. However, the royal residence was fixed at Mankunda to the west of Chennapattana in the 7th century. Manyapura to the north of Nelmangala became the royal residence in the 8th century. The Ganga dynasty produced remarkable rulers like Madhava I, Avinita, Durvinita, Bhuvikrama, Sri Purusha, Shivamara II, minister like Chavundaraya, whose contribution forms a bright heritage. Page 4. 8.2 Background Origin. The beginning history of the Gangas of Talakad is shrouded in mystery. What we know until now is merely a repletion of the stories contained in inscriptions of much later date. From the historical point of view, not merely the origin of the Gangas, but also of most other Karnataka dynasties, such as the Kadamba, the Chalukyas, the Rashtrakutas, the Hoysalas, and the Vijayanagara have got to be established on more sound foundation. Many scholars have associated the origin of these dynasties with persons who came from outside the Karnataka territory. Besides, the rise of every dynasty is connected to active participation of some religious saint, although we cannot deny the practice in India of the political figures consulting rishis and saints on vital issues of politics. But saints themselves establishing dynasties is difficult to believe. The theory of foreign origin is quite understandable because every dynasty in South was anxious to enhance its prestige by claiming itself to be connected to the epic heroes such as Rama or Krishna. Therefore, the origin of the Gangas has to be examined very carefully. Several conflicting theories have been advanced in respect of the origin of the Gangas. First, we have the mythological theory, which states that the originators of the Ganga came from Ayodhyapura, the capital of Dasaratha. Secondly, Levi's Rice holds the view that the founders belonged to the Kanva dynasty of North. Thirdly, the Jaina theory, in which a Simhanandi is said to have established this kingdom. Fourthly, the Congo Desa origin in which scholars have attempted to connect the Gangas to the Tamilians of Salem district. The fifth add the last theory, indigenous origin of the Gangas of Talakad. This theory advances the view that the founders were the sons of the soil, which appears to be more realistic. We shall examine the latest theory in detail. According to this theory, the founders must have been the sons of the soil. They must have watched the local conditions and prepared the ground to fill the political vacuum. The probability of two unknown persons like Dadiga and Madhava coming from as far a distant place as Ayodhyapura is highly doubtful. Had they come with an invading force, we would have heard about it in some records, but we have no such evidence. Besides, a foreigner is always at a disadvantage in a different country unless he is militarily superior, which is not reflected in any records. Thus, we can eliminate the probability of an outsider establishing this dynasty. We conclude through negative inferences that a local person must have had a hand in it. But there are other reasons also for this supposition. First, let us inquire how the term Gangas came to be applied to this dynasty. Ptolemy locates the Ganga Ridae to the region near the Ganges. The Latin authors Virgil Valerius Curtius and Pliny call this area as Ganga Ridae, but the name has nothing to do with the dynasty. Levi's Rice touches on this point and says that the present agricultural community of Karnataka, called Gangadhikaras, must have something to do with the early Gangas. These Gangadhikaras are pure Kannadigas.
It is not improbable that
Dadiga and Madhava, the founders of the dynasty, were associated with this community. The fact that the capital of the Gangas, namely Talakad, situated on the banks of the river Kaveri, indicates that the name Ganga could have had affinity with Kaveri, which was also called Dakshina Ganga. This must have inspired the founder to name the dynasty as Ganga. The river is as sacred to the people in the south as the Ganga is in the north. Besides, in this region, most of the people professed Shaivism. As Ganga happens to be the wife of Shiva, it might have added another reason to name the dynasty as Gangas.
Page 5. Secondly, the Ganga rule was one of the longest in history. If the dynasty had not been of the indigenous origin, it could not have lasted so long, as is evident from the Maurya, the Nanda, the Satavana, the Chola and the Pallava control of Karnataka, which did not last long. On the other hand, the indigenous dynasties such as the Kadambas, the Rashtrakutas, the Chalukyas and the Vadayars proved to be longer period. If the Gangas had been foreign origin, they could not have continued for long. Thirdly, it had been customary in early phases of historical research in India to associate the origin of every important dynasty with foreign powers. The Pallavas were connected with the Persians, the Chalukyas of Badami were linked with Ayodhya. Perhaps the Gangas also suffered the same fate. If they had come from outside, the language of the inscription should have betrayed their identity. Again, etymologically, the terms Dadiga and Madhava do not have any trace of connection with the north. They are local names.
In short, we can presume that there is no convincing proof that the Gangas had come from outside, that the view that they had their original home at Ayodhyapura is merely a myth, that they belong to Kanwa dynasty is equally incorrect, that they came from Congo Desa is also unacceptable, and that a Jaina teacher by name Simhananda was responsible for the foundation is also doubtful. Many of the early Ganga were not Jaina but were followers of Vedic religion. This has been conclusively proved by the latest researchers. Therefore, the only possible approach is to consider the Gangas as the sons of the soil, who had laid the foundation of their kingdom near Talakad on the banks of the river Kaveri. The authority of the Satavahanas dwindled from the 2nd century onwards and paving the way for numerous small dynasties to raise their heads. The Pallavas in Tamil Nadu and the Gangas in the heartland of Karnataka near Talakad all rose into prominence. 8.3 Political History of the Gangas. Early Rulers. Madhava I, 360-370 AD, happened to be the first ruler of the Ganga dynasty. He was also called Konguni Varma, the title which was used by the subsequent rulers of the dynasty as well. Taking advantage of the chaotic political conditions existing at the time, he laid the foundations of a small kingdom as far as Salem or Kongu Desa.
Madhava came to prominence at a time when the Banas, the Kadambas and the Pallavas had already consolidated their power on the fringe of Mysore territory. Madhava overpowered the Banas and conquered Kolar. The Banas were originally feudatories of Satavahanas. After the fall of the Satavahanas, the Banas changed their allegiance to the Pallavas of Kanchi. The Pallava king appeared to have been very much distressed over the weakness exhibited by the Bana ruler and wanted to strengthen the western part of his kingdom against the aggressions of the Kadambas. Hence, as a counterpoise to the growing power of Kadambas, the Pallava made friendship with the Gangas. Scholars like Rice and others believe that he led a successful expedition towards Konkan coast. He was a scholarly person and his kingdom has been described as the kingdom of prosperity in inscription and Gangavadi 96,000 country. Page 6. Madhava II, 370 to 390 AD, was the son of Dadiga, who was the nephew of Madhava I. Unfortunately, there are very few records which throw light on the events of his reign. He had high ideal of kingship. The Nandi plates describe him as having accepted kingship only for advancing the welfare of the people. Tradition ascribes him the authorship of the commentary on Datta Sutra, and he was a poet as well. He was well versed in political science. According to Kandasala Grant, he was well versed in political science. According to Kandasala Grant, he was well versed in Upanishad and Niti Sastra. He followed Vedic religion. He was succeeded by his son Harivarma, 390 to 410 AD. The Ganga relations with the Pallavas was an important aspect of his reign. Harivarma continued the friendly relation with the Pallavas. Another significant event of his reign is the establishment of branches of the Ganga dynasty, Paruvi and Kaivara. He patronized Hinduism and learned scholars. One Madhava Bhatta defeated a Buddhist scholar Vadimada Gajendra in argument and received the grant of Orekodu near Mysore from Harivarma. He also received the title of Vadiva Simha from the king. On the whole, Harivarma's reign was a period of political consolidation and general promotion of art and literature. Harivarma was succeeded by his son Vishnu Gopa, 410 to 430 AD. Very little information is available regarding the events of his reign. He maintained his possessions in good condition, although he did not extend its limits. He was worshipper of Vishnu. Records mention that he was noted more for saintliness of character than for kingly accomplishment. He was succeeded by his son Madhava III, 430 to 466 AD. The Pallava ruler Skandavarma supported him. He continued friendly relations with the Pallavas. Ganga kingdom acted as a buffer state between the Pallavas and the Kadambas. Madhava III gave attention to political consolidation. He established matrimonial with the Kadambas. Madhava caused the two other Talakad. He was a good soldier. He restored the extent of the Ganga kingdom to what it was in the days of Kongani Varma I. Madhava III followed a tolerant religious policy by patronizing Jainism, Buddhism and Hinduism. Madhava III succeeded by his son Avinita, 466 to 495 AD. Kadamba prince Krishna Varma II gave his sister in marriage to Madhava III with a view to strengthen his influence and resist the encroachment of the Pallava rulers. Avinita, one of the most illustrious rulers of the Ganga dynasty, was born of this alliance. Avinita married the daughter of Skanda Varma, king of Punata, in HD Kote Taluk. The Hoskote plates describes him as unrivaled in riding elephant and horses. His kingdom extended up to Western Ghats in the northwest near Kadamba territory and Salem district in the south, east and northeastern Ghats. Avinita was spoken of as a prodigy of valor, unrivaled in managing elephants and in horsemanship and archery, and is described as prince of unstrained liberality. Page 7. He was described in inscription and copper plates and devoted to the protection of the country and maintained Varnashrama Dharma. While he made grants to Jaina temples and fostered Jainism under the inspiration of his teacher Vijayakriti, he was also devoted to the worship of Hara. 8.4. Political history of the Gangas from Durvinita to Sri Purusha. Durvinita, 495 to 535 AD, was the eldest son of Avinita. He succeeded to the throne after a civil war with his brother. In this civil war, the Pallavas helped his younger brother because of their ambition to expand their power in Gangavadi. Soon after his accession, Duruvinita launched upon a career of conquest. The Chalukyas from north and the Pallavas from the south were pressing towards Gangavadi. When Pallavas championed the cause of Duruvinita's brother, Duruvinita allied himself with the Chalukyas prince Vijayaditya by giving him his own daughter in marriage. This was a very wise dynastic marriage carried out at a very crucial stage of Ganga history. Otherwise, the Pallavas would have been in a position to establish their power permanently over Gangavadi. With the help of Vijayaditya, Duruvinita destroyed the conspiracy of his brother. Apart from the Pallavas, Duruvinita also checked the growing ambitions of the Kadambas and the Rashtrakutas. Duruvinita captured Alathur, Coimbatore district, and other places which considerably enhanced his prestige. He also conquered Punnatha. He also helped Jayasimha to secure the Chalukya throne of Badami. In religious matter, Duruvinita was the upholder of Vedic Dharma. He patronized Jainism as well as Pujyapada, the famous Jain saint, was his teacher. He adopted a liberal policy towards all faiths, Shaivism, Vaishnavism and Jainism. He himself, a scholar, patronized literature. Sanskrit poet Bharavi stayed for some time in the court of Duruvinita. Duruvinita was the author of a commentary on the 15th sarga of Bhairavi's Kiratarjuniya. He also wrote Sabdavatara, a grammar work. He also translated in Sanskrit Gunadhyas Brihatkatha. Thus, the 40 years of his rule constitutes one of the brightest periods of Karnataka history. He is known for the extension of this kingdom, establishment of law and order, encouragement of art and letters, and promotion of religion and philosophy. He successfully checked the interference of the Pallavas in the Ganga affairs and assisted the Chalukyas to establish their power firmly, subdued the growing influence of the Kadambas, and increased the prestige and power of the Ganga dynasty. Duruvinita was succeeded by his son Mushkara, 535 to 583 AD, who ruled for about 50 years. During his reign, the last vestiges of the Pandya and Chera influences were completely removed in Kongu region, and it was actually incorporated in Gangavadi. He extended the kingdom in the direction of Bellari and Dharwad. An inscription of Lakshmeshwara by Marasimhadeva in 978 tells us that Mushkara built a Jaina temple, Mukkara Basadi, in Miraj district. Page 8. He was succeeded by his son Srivikrama, 583 to 635 AD. Details regarding his region are not available. He was well versed in 14 branches of learning, including politics. He had the title of Jnana Vinita. He was succeeded by his eldest son Bhuvikrama, 635 to 679 AD. He had friendly relations with the Chalukyas of Badami and checked the growing ambitions of Pallavas. He assisted Chalukyan ruler Pulakesi II against the Pallavas, who were defeated by the former in the Battle of Pulayur. He was also engaged in war against Cholas, Pandyas, Kalingas and Maharashtra countries. He was succeeded by his younger brother Shivamara I, 675 to 725 AD. His reign witnessed a Pallava invasion, but Shivamara energetically maintained his position. Though Chalukya records describe Vinayaditya as the overlord of the Gangas, the Gangas never admitted the claim. Shivamara was famous as Avanita Mahendra, Sistapriya and Navakama. He was a good administrator and introduced an effective system of decentralization in the kingdom. This was necessary for two reasons. One was that the kingdom had become unwieldy to be governed from one center by one person. The other reason was anxiety of Shivamara to provide facilities for his sons to receive training in the art of administration so that they could prove better rulers in the future. He was succeeded by his grandson Sri Purusha, 725 to 788 AD. As Shivamara's son Areganga predeceased him, he was succeeded by Areganga's son Sri Purusha. Sri Purusha was one of the most distinguished rulers of the Ganga dynasty. The country attained a height of prosperity which it had never reached before. He had gained administrative experience before he came to throne under the personal name of Mutarasa and Prithvi Kongani. He was in charge of Kerekunda 300, Elanganad 70, Avanayanad 300, Ponkunda 12 of different areas or provinces to the east of Gangavati and contiguous at the kingdom of the Banas who were hostile to the Ganga. During his reign, Sri Purusha was confronted with the gradual and inevitable encroachments of the Rathas and the Pallavas. The Pallavas had already become powerful in the south. The Pallava ruler Nandivarma had launched a career of ceaseless conquest. Sri Purusha came into conflict with Nandivarma for the overlordship of the Kongu territory in the south. The Pandyas were waging constant war with Nandivarma for the control of Kongu country, reinstating the illegitimate claimant Chitramaya on the Kongu throne. Gangavati was regarded as a buffer state by the Chalukyas. Hence, they never tolerated the establishment of any alien power in Kongu Nad on the fringe of Gangavati. Thus, the Pallavas' activities in the Kongu Nad provoked the invasion of the Chalukyas. While Nandivarma was trying to establish control over Kongu Nad, Chalukyas Vikramaditya II invaded Kanchi and after a temporary military occupation, returned triumphant country. To avenge this insult done to Pallavas, Nandivarma conciliated the Gangas and Pandyas as a leader of a powerful confederacy of all the southern powers. He inflicted a crushing defeat upon Chalukya Kirtivarman II. A feudatory of Kirtivarman II, Dantidurga gained considerable influence by a matrimonial alliance with Nandivarma Pallava. Besides, a new development took place in the south. Rajasimha Maravarman Pandya gained sudden ascendancy in Pallava territory, and in order to consolidate his newly acquired power and to trust the designs of Nandivarman, he contemplated a matrimonial alliance with Ganga dynasty. Page 9. It is probably that Sri Purusha daughter by Malava princess known as Konakara was given in marriage to the Pandya prince Jatila Parantaka, who was the son and successor of Rajasimha on the Pandya throne. Sri Purusha involved himself in the Chalukya-Pallava struggle, the Pandya-Pallava conflict, and the Pallava-Rashtrakuta war of aggression and in wars with feudatories. Nandivarma seems to have attacked the Ganga country and have taken away the neck ornament, which confirmed a game called Ugrodaya. Sri Purusha likewise slew the valiant Kadavati and took away from him the titles of Paramanadi and Bhimakopa. During the latter half of his reign, Sri Purusha had to encounter the Rashtrakutas, who pressed towards the south by the middle of the 8th century and made themselves the master of Deccan. The apprehension of danger from the Rashtrakutas might have been the motive for transference of the capital of Manyapura or Mane in Nelmangal Taluk, Bangalore district. Fierce wars were fought between Sri Purusha and Rashtrakuta King Krishna I. The Telangon plates of Krishna issued from Mane indicate the Rashtrakuta hegemony had been established over Gangavati. The last years of Sri Purusha's reign must have been dark owing to the changing fortune which Gangavati was undergoing as a result of the long-drawn and incessant wars with the Pallavas, Chalukyas and Rashtrakutas. Sri Purusha was a good administrator. He divided the kingdom into different units over which he appointed his sons as governors who had an effective control over the chiefs and feudatories. We have reference relating to his queens taking interest in administration of the kingdom. His son Dugamara ruled over a position of Kongu country. They were given power to issue grants. Sri Purusha followed a policy of religious toleration. Jainism and Hinduism were equally patronized by Sri Purusha. He patronized literature. He wrote Gagasastra, which describes the method of capturing and taming elephants. 8.5. The later Gangas. Shivamar II, 788 to 812 AD, was the eldest son of Sri Purusha. His rule was marked by rise and fall of fortunes. He involved in the struggle for power between Govinda and Dhruva in the Rashtrakuta kingdom. Shivamar II supported Govinda, but Dhruva succeeded to throw and punished Shivamara. Dhruva captured him and imprisoned him. Gangavati placed under the administration of his eldest son Kamba. Kamba ruled Gangavati until his father's death. When his younger brother Govinda III ascended the Rashtrakuta throne, Kamba formed a confederacy of 12 kings against his brother and rebelled. Dictated by reasons of policy, Govinda III released Shivamar II from prison and sent him back to Gangavadi. But Shivamar supported Kamba. In the war that followed, Govinda III captured Shivamara. However, by following a policy of conciliation, Govinda III restored Gangavati Shivamara. Thereafter, Shivamara continued to be a loyal feudatory to the Rashtrakutas.
Page 10. Shivamara II was a man of culture. He built Jain temples and several basadis at Shravanabelagola and other places. His Gajasatakas in Kannada, of which he is said to have been the author, is considered to be a composition of literary merit. He was also the author of a work called Setu Bandhana. The Ganga kingdom seems to have partitioned after Shivamara's death between his son Marasimha and his brother Vijaditya. After the death of Marasimha, Vijaditya, brother of Shivamara, came to throne. He ruled for a very short period. He was succeeded by his son Rajamalla, 818 to 853 AD. He had to wage wars against the Rashtrakutas. Niti Marga I, 853 to 869 AD, was the son and successor of Rajamalla. He continued the policy of his father in retrieving the lost glory of Gangavadi. Niti Marga was succeeded by his son Rajamalla II, 870 to 907 AD. He was devout Jaina, but endowed grants on Brahmins as well. He was succeeded by Niti Marga II, 907 to 919 AD. He began a career of conquest and consolidation. Gangas during his reign continued to be the feudatories of the Rashtrakutas. Next notable king of the Ganga dynasty was Marasimha II, 963 to 974 AD. He had titles like Gutya Ganga and Nalanbantaka. His reign appears to have been literally crowded with military engagements, sieges and invasions. Krishna III of the Rashtrakuta dynasty employed Marasimha to command an expedition to Gujarat to protect the Kalacheris from an attack by the Gurjars. These facts testify to Narasimha's loyalty and devotion as a feudatory of Rashtrakutas. He was a devout Jaina and constructed Jain basadis and erected Jaina Manasthambas on the Chadragiri hills. The last notable king of the Ganga dynasty was Rajamalla IV, who ruled from 977 to 985 AD. He delegated his power to his minister Chamundaraya. In fact, the history of Rajamalla is in a way the history of Chamundaraya's administration. He distinguished himself by his great and honest service to the state with a devotion which has no parallel in the history of Ganga dynasty. He frustrated the designs of the usurpers after the death of Narasimha III. He waged endless wars against hostile neighbors, chiefs and feudatories. He was a good scholar and well-versed in logic, grammar, mathematics, medicine and literature. He was devout Jaina and wrote the Chamundaraya Purana in Kannada, which deals with the 24 Tirthankaras. He was the contemporary of Ranna and Pampa. Chamundaraya is remembered for his contribution as well. He caused the creation of the great monolithic status of Gomteshwara at Shravanabelagola in 1983 AD. He was devout Jaina. Ajitaseva was his religious teacher. Thus the reign of Rajamalla IV is fully occupied with the activities of Chamundaraya. Rajamalla IV was succeeded by his brother Rakkasa Ganga, who ruled from 985 to 1024 AD. With the death of Chamundaraya, departed the cohesion and power of the Ganga kingdom. Cholas and Chalukyas conducted aggressive raids on the kingdom. Unlike the Pallavas and Rashtrakutas, who established nominal overlordship, the Cholas contemplated the entire subjugation of Gangavadi. Rajendra Chola in 1004 AD captured Talcott, extinguished Ganga rule. But Gangas did not disappear from history after the death of Rakkasa Ganga. Later on, they entered into matrimonial Chalukyas. They were in authority in the Kolar district during the Chola occupation.
One of the Ganga Rajas assumed independence and established a small principality at Shivanasamudra, but later on it was merged in the kingdom of Sri Ganga Raja of Talkad. Page 11, 8.6. Let us sum up. In the foregoing accounts about the political history of the Gangas of Talkad, we have seen various views expressed regarding the origins of the Gangas. These traditional accounts are later creation in order to provide a Kshatriya genealogy connecting North Indian origin. This is very common with all South Indian dynastical, since we do not find the experience existence of Kshatriya class. All the ruling familiar were upgraded to ruling class from local powerful Shudra clan or families. Secondly, their political career of expansion and decline has been explained in three states, namely the early rulers from Madhava the First to Avinita, which was formative period in the history of Gangas. Second phase commences from Durvinita to Sri Purusha. This period witnessed the higher glory of political expansion of the Ganga rule. The last phases witness the political struggle of Ganga with the Pallavas, Cholas and Rashtrakutas, and the decline the Ganga as major political power in history of Karnataka. 8.7 Questions for self-study. Number 1. Discuss the origin and early history of Gangas of Talkad. Number 2. Describe the political and cultured achievements of Durvinita. Number 3. Describe the political relations of the Gangas with the Pallavas of Kanchi and Chalukyas of Badami. Number 4. Brightly discuss the political achievements of the Gangas of Talkad. 8.8 Books for further study. Number 1. M. V. Krishna Rao, History of the Gangas of Talkad. Number 2. B. Sheikh Ali, History of the Western Gangas of Talkad. Number 3. P. V. Desai, A History of Karnataka. Number 4. T. V. Mahalingam, South Indian Polity. Number 5. Karashima N., South Indian History and Society. Number 6. M. G. S. Narayana, Reinterpretations in South Indian History. Number 7. Dr. Shivanna, Rashtrakuta's Relation with Gangas and Talkad.